All right, so look, it's good to be here and good to see all of you. It feels like Christmas, doesn't it? Yeah, it probably is Christmas. It's been Christmas since July in some of the shops, in case you missed it. And I am going, next week Advent starts in the church's calendar. And so I thought it's probably timely to say something about Christmas. So I'm going to just read about four verses for you. You don't need to turn unless you particularly want to. It's Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. Look, you could rattle this out. From memory, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother was pledged in marriage to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and was unwilling to disgrace her publicly, he resolved to divorce her quietly. But after he had pondered these things, and this is the crunch bit that I'm going to use as a text. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to embrace Mary as your wife, for the one conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Good. So that's a kind of a text that I'm going to use, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to try and engage you with this part of this message a little. You do know that Christmas can mean different things to different people, right? So if you were to go on the street and ask people, what does Christmas mean to them? What kind of answers you think you might get? What might people tell you? Or just imagine that you are not a church goer, but you like Christmas. And I've come to you and asked you, hey, what do you think of Christmas? You're all in a group, in a clubhouse somewhere. What do you think of Christmas?
Drink,
presents, family,
parties.
Oh, what?
Public holiday.
I like that one. Public holiday also. Yeah.
Expense.
Yeah. Some people might tell you, well, it's the one time in the year I go to church. Yeah? I used to look after three churches in Trinidad. And on Christmas morning, the biggest one of the three, which could really hold about maybe 300 to 400 people, there were like 500 people. And they were all on the outside, because it's like bricks where they have holes, and they were all listening through there and watching the service from there. All right. So, what about a time to sing carols?
Yeah.
A time to relax and watch TV? Yeah. How about eating lots of food, good food?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Receiving, somebody said, and giving presents. So, some of the things that people might tell you what Christmas means to them. And all of those things do happen at Christmas, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
But here is something to think about. If Christmas means family, then what about those people without families? If Christmas means, let's take for example, twinkling lights. The twinkling lights? Yeah? Then what about those people who have no electricity? Who live in parts of the world where there are no electricity? If Christmas means giving and receiving gifts, what about those who cannot afford gifts? They're just struggling to make ends meet, to feed the children and pay the mortgage and pay the bills. So I was curious, and I look up the meaning for Christmas in the modern Oxford English Dictionary. And this is what it says. Christmas is the annual festival of Christ's birth, celebrated on the 25th of December. That's it. That's Christmas. Does that help? Well, maybe sort of. It doesn't give you any other details. You know, some of the things that we say and do at Christmas can be such fun and so enjoyable. It says that a man, for example, goes through three stages in his life. You guys know what those three stages are? When it comes to Christmas?
No.
No? Right, I'll tell you then.
Thank you.
It says that stage one, he believes in Santa. Stage two, he doesn't believe in Santa. Stage three.
He is Santa.
Yes. Well done, Tony. Stage three, he is Santa. And different people at Christmas, they have different expectations for Christmas. I read of a little boy who prayed for a bicycle for his birthday. And he really prayed to God for this bicycle. And his birthday arrived, and there was no bicycle. Then he thought, but Christmas is only like 4 or 5 weeks away. I've got a second chance here. So he started to pray. And then he thought, hang on, this isn't such a good idea. Because I prayed for a bicycle before, and I didn't get one. So, he got up, walked around the house, and he spotted a statue of Mary in his parents' house. And he took the statue and wrapped it up really nicely and put it in a drawer. And then he went back to pray. And he said, "Dear Jesus, get me a bike if you want to see your mother again." You see, there are people who think they can negotiate with the creator of the universe.
Yeah.
A mother said to her daughter, "Mommy hopes to give you a baby brother for Christmas, but it's going to be really painful." As Christmas approached, Mommy was rushed into hospital, right? And she gave birth to a wonderful baby boy. And there was great rejoicing in the family that Christmas. Next Christmas comes, and Mommy said to her daughter, "What would you like for Christmas?" And she said, "Mommy, you know how last year you gave me a little baby brother? This year, if it's not too painful, can I have a pony?" Talk of expectations in the realm of the miraculous. So there was a little boy who was desperate to play Joseph in his school nativity play. But he wasn't chosen. He was chosen to play the innkeeper. And a big day arrived. The play got underway, and they got to the point where Mary and Joseph arrived at the inn and knocked on the door. And the innkeeper comes out, and Joseph asked, "Can my wife and I come in? Can my wife Mary and I come in?" And the innkeeper said, "She can come in, but you can't, because I wanted to be Joseph." There are so many versions of Christmas that it's just good to stop and ask, what is the meaning of Christmas? And do you know that the only historical reason for Christmas is, it is the birthday of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the only reason why there can be a true celebration of his birthday is because he is alive. Amen. Because after all, we don't celebrate the birthday of people who are dead. Now imagine that it's your birthday and your friends and family come to your house to celebrate. Right? Then they all get their gifts out and give the gifts to each other. And you are shocked. They came to celebrate your birthday, but they give presents to each other and none to you. Does that ring a bell? Jesus' birthday, and we give presents to each other. Don't you think that's funny? Some people say Christmas means giving presents. No! Christmas doesn't mean giving presents. But of course we give presents because it is Christmas. In the biblical account, there was a group of wise men. Have you ever wondered what would have happened had they been wise women?
Well, they got there sooner.
Would have been there on time. Would have cleaned the table.
Yeah.
They would have made a casserole.
To start with, they probably would have asked for direction. And they would most likely got there on time and help with the delivery. Yeah. They probably would have brought some food or cooked some food and help in practical ways. Yeah. The wise men brought gifts of gold, myrrh, and frankincense. Yeah. Now, why would you give a baby such gifts? Well, as you know, it's to do with biblical symbolism. But sometimes we just talk what they represent and don't dig a little bit into what it might mean for you and I. So gold, yeah, we all know, a symbol of kingship. Christ, the king. Not just a king, but the king. King and Lord of the universe. And by worshipping him and giving him gold, the wise men are saying, we want to come under your sovereignty and your rule. So the question that I put to you is this: have you accepted Jesus as your king? And if you have, is it just for this season for him to rule? Or is it for him to rule every minute of every day of your life? King of my life, I submit to your rule. Yeah. That's what they're saying. Mm. Not just for a period, but for all time. Mm. Frankincense, a symbol of communication and prayer. The wise men understood that Jesus came to communicate with people in a way that they could understand. And by giving frankincense, what they were saying is this: Jesus, you've come, you want to communicate with us, and we want to communicate with you. That's the idea of frankincense. You want to communicate with us, and we want to communicate with you. So I ask you this: are you happy with the level and intensity of your communication with Jesus. That could be your prayer time, it could be your meditation time, it could be some other time. Are you happy with the level and intensity of your communication with Jesus? You want to communicate with us, and we want to communicate with you. That's frankincense. And myrrh, as you know, a symbol of death. They understood that Jesus came into this world in order to give his life for us. So here is the thing. To appreciate the meaning of these gifts that I've just talked about, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, we have to understand the world into which Jesus was born. And would you believe it was a world with problems just as much as there is today? And what do you think is the root cause of everything that is wrong with the world? That's the question. Sin. Great. I'm glad you said that. We're coming to that in a minute. That's a big term though, sin. What does it mean? Okay, I'll probably take a few moments to explain that in simple terms, hopefully. But there was a mother who was busy. And she asked her husband to look after their daughter, let's call her Anne, right? And the father was also busy. So to keep Anne gainfully occupied, let's put it that way, he saw a map of the world on a magazine. So he cut the map into several pieces and shuffled them up. And he said, Anne, I want you to put the pieces back together to make this world, put it back together. And when you are finished, come and let me know. And he thought this would keep her busy for a really long time while he gets on with his work. And he was surprised because within a few moments, she said, Daddy, I've done it. He was like really surprised. All his plans went out of the window, right? He said, Anne, how did you do that so quickly? How did you manage to put all the pieces back so accurately and so quickly? She said, well, Daddy, you know, whilst you were cutting up the map, I was looking on the other side of this piece of paper, and I saw a picture of a man and a woman. And I said to myself, if I could put back the man and the woman together, I would put the world back together. The heart of the world's problems, sin, it is with the human heart. It is our heart that is at the root cause. And as Tony said, the Bible calls it sin. So let me try and hopefully explain this sin thing in the simplest of form. Maybe too simple for you folks, but bear with me. Imagine that you passed out from this life. Now, let me hasten and say, this is only an illustration, all right? So relax. But just imagine that you pass out from this life and you wake up in a hall with a huge screen and you are sitting on your own. An angel flies in and says, welcome to the hall of judgment. On the screen, you see your life. Everything you did, said, and thought. And as you are recovering from that, the angel says there will be a second viewing. But this time, all the people featured in the film of your life are waiting to come in for the second viewing. How would you feel if your life was judged on the basis of everything you thought, said, and done? But the film does not only reveal what I thought, said, and done, but the things I should have thought, should have said, and should have done. For example, I could have stood up for the voiceless, but I didn't. I could have been kinder, but I turned a blind eye. Now, I don't know about you, but personally, I wouldn't want a private viewing of my life, never mind a public one. Honestly, I don't need convincing. All right? The Bible says that we are all guilty of the things on that screen. It says in Romans 3:23, "For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God." And everything on that screen has consequences. And the most serious consequence is those things disconnect, separate us from God. Sin separates us from God. And the crucial question I put to you is, how do we get a connected relationship back with God? And I read something really interesting in your newsletter this week. Should I read it for those of you who haven't read it? Have you read it? At our Tuesday prayer meeting, we had a beautiful account shared by Nancy's great-granddaughter. I was going to say granddaughter, my great-granddaughter. Coming to visit her on her birthday. Mia, is that her name? Is normally a little shy, but on this visit, she made a beeline for Nancy and sat next to her on the settee. There was no need for any words as they simply snuggled up to each other and quietly enjoyed each other's company. And this is the crucial bit here. We felt this was a beautiful picture of the kind of relationship that our Heavenly Father wants with you and me. That doesn't sound to me like a disconnected and separated relationship. That's very much a connected relationship. You know, if you remove the word Christ from Christmas, do you know what you're left with? M&S. Yeah. Take the word Christ out of Christmas and you're left with M&S. Now, M&S is great. A lot of people like their food and other stuff, right? But what good is that to me for the most serious problem humanity has? Sin. That disconnects me from my Creator and my God. And this is where Christmas comes in. And yes, to use a cliche, we do need to put Christ back into Christmas. Jesus, He is the only one without sin. And the only reason He came was to do something for each of us, for the stuff in the film of my life. Don't forget that film. The only reason He came was to do something for each of us, for the stuff in the film of my life. And what the world needed then, and what the world needs now, is not an economist, not an educator, not an entertainer, not a scientist, but someone who can restore to us a connected relationship with my God. What we need is a savior to put us back together. And the angel said, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now, have you ever stopped to think of this word save? I looked it up, and it's a very radical word. The word refers to something absolutely radical. It means not just helping somebody a little bit. It means saving someone who is unable to save themselves. So a person who is lost at sea, for example, or a person who has stopped breathing, they need saving. And that is as radical of what it means here. Save. So during the Christmas season, you know, we can get very preoccupied with the baby Jesus, that we miss Christmas. Of course, the invisible God became visible in a baby Jesus. But do you know that for some people, he was a baby, he is a baby, and will always be a baby, the baby Jesus. You know, if you go to Grace Monument, Newcastle City Center, you don't see Charles Gray in a cradle, do you? If you go to Trafalgar Square, you don't see Nelson in a cradle. What I'm saying to you is this. To understand Christmas, we have to move from the cradle to the cross. Yeah. Or as the song puts it, Ronnie and John, from the earth to the cross. You know, important and crucial as the birth of Christ is, it is the death of Jesus that really completes and make my connected relationship with God possible. Something that people talked about here tonight, and in the hymns we sang. You know, there is an old story about a shepherd in New Zealand. One morning, he found himself with a really big problem. One of his sheep gave birth, but the baby died. Then another sheep gave birth, but soon after, the mother died. Now, there is a lamb without its mother, and there is a mother without its lamb. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Great. So, to the shepherd, the solution is simple. Get the lamb without its mother to the mother without the lamb. Simple, isn't it? Yeah. However, the mother sheep rejected the baby lamb because the mother smelled a different aroma. It was not her baby. So the shepherd struck up an ingenious plan. He took the skin off the dead lamb and put it over the body of the lamb whose mother had died, and brought the two together. And the mother was ready to back away, but suddenly it smelled the aroma of the lamb that it had given birth to. And the mother accepted that lamb, nursed it, and cared for it. That mother sheep accepted the lamb, the other lamb, because the skin of its own dead baby was placed on the body of that other lamb without a mother. God forgives me for the things in the film of my life and everything else, and accepts me because I come to Him. You know how? Cleansed and covered in the righteousness of His crucified and resurrected Son, Jesus Christ. Not in my own aroma, not in my own, but in the righteousness covered by His crucified Son. Covers me. And that's the only reason why I am accepted in heaven. He smells the aroma of His Son.
Praise the Lord.
Christ. Call His name Jesus, for it is He who will save His people from their sins. And the Bible says in John 1, verse 12, to those who receive Him, He gives the right to be what? Children of God. Now we are talking about separation and broken relationships being restored and being reconnected back to God in Christ. That's what we're talking about. And what a relationship. Children of God. Great granddaughter, what a relationship of connection. Children of God. A reconnected relationship with our Maker. Now, I don't want to make these songs like an insult to anybody, but I simply want to put this to you, that today you can receive forgiveness, you can begin a relationship as a child of God, or you can experience a restoration or a renewal of the relationship you already have with God and take it to an even higher level. The meaning of Christmas. You know, in the Christmas carol, O little town of Bethlehem, the fourth verse reads this way. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. O come to us, abide with us. Our Lord, Emmanuel. Restored relationship. May God bless you. And thank you.